Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is good to see everyone here in church today. You're looking strong, you're looking powerful, and although our Texans didn't pull it out yesterday, you know, we still love them, right? We still love them. We love them because they're ours. And so it's been many years. So excited to have all of you here. I want to look at everyone who's watching and all our different overflow sections and online as well, and welcome all of you. Can we give it up for everyone watching online, everyone in all of our different sections there? Hey, excited to celebrate this 8 years. 8 years for so many of you. You maybe have only come along the journey in the last few months or last couple years, and there's some OGs I see out in the crowd as well that's been here from the early days of Beckendorf Junior High School. I remember first service, walking in, and it smelled like chicken nuggets. Come on. That's when you know it's going to be a good time, you know? And I remember moving here, and I remember it's like we parachuted in. We didn't know anyone, moved 6 months before we actually started services so we could get to know people, and had about 65 people total move with us to get things started. And I remember the day leading into this moment. I remember setting everything up on a Saturday so it would be set up, and we got up on Sunday morning. We're coming to church, and I remember feeling two things. I remember feeling like just excited, like, let's go. We've been talking about this forever. Let's do this. And I remember just a little bit of nervousness, not nervousness because I was nervous, because I knew God was doing something and I knew God was birthing something. And I was just so humbled to even be a part of it. And I want to tell you this, I feel the same thing showing up here this morning. I drive up here and I feel, no matter all the things that God's done in 8 years' time, I feel very just excited, like, let's go. But I also feel just this little bit of nervousness because I'm like, Lord, you did all this in 8 years. What are you gonna do in the next 8? And the next 8 after that, what are you gonna do? God, where are we gonna put them? And I'm not even worried about it because I know God's gonna take care of all of it. But hey, we're talking about several things today. I'm going to finish our series on Run to Win next week. And then we're going to go into relationship series in February. I know a lot of churches do relationship series in February, and I've never done it, so we're going to do it this year, talking about all the different relationships in our life. It's going to be a great, great time. But I have a special announcement I'm excited about. I've been talking to you guys, been like, hey, would you come to 8 o'clock service? And guess what? We're starting to have a problem. Our 8 o'clock was almost full this morning. I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and so it's all good. But we've been preparing for this. And if you're here, 2 weeks ago, we had to turn people away. I've not heard whether we had to do that today or not. I hope we didn't. And so if that was you, thank you for being patient with us as we're doing the best that we can. But we came together as a team with our dream team leaders and then also staff and all of that. And man, we've got to do something. So we are opening up another service starting February 17th. So that's not a Sunday. If you notice, that's a Saturday, okay? So we're going to start Saturday night service, 5 p.m. on February 17th. So if you're winning on the overflows and you're like, I told you we should have left earlier, guess what? You can come February 17th, Saturday night, 5 p.m. We're opening up more space. And so I want as many of you that want to come, please come. And if you don't want to come, come anyway. All right. So we can make more space in this place. So we're really excited about that. February 17th, open up Saturday night services. And we'll just let God, hopefully we'll create more space. I'll tell you really, here's the deal for everyone, that just so you understand the method behind all of it, is when someone decides they want to come check out a church for the first time, or they want to visit a church for the first time, or maybe ever come to church, they want to come between that 9:30 and 11:15 mark. And so that's when people want to come to church normally. And so really the reason you do other services is you're trying to pull people who are your regulars, who understand that, who get that, your believers, your core that says, okay, I'll go to one of these other ones to free space for all the guests that want to show up in these ones. Well, I'll say this about Saturday night. Whenever we came from a church that we had five services on the weekend, two Saturday night, three Sunday, we'll probably eventually have two Saturday night as that one builds. That was my wife's favorite service, because we had little kids at the time, and she was able, that whole day, didn't have to jump up and everybody get ready, you know, could get them there, and then they wake up Sunday and have your whole day. So have I promoted it good enough yet? Y'all see what I'm trying to do here, right? Okay, all right, anyway. Also, anytime we open up another service, then it opens up opportunity for more serve opportunities. So on your way out, you'll have an usher hand this to you. It's just simply a card. It has all the different areas that we have different teams, and what do we need to get that Saturday going. We've already been talking to people, recruiting people to be a part of that, but we'd love that. You can scan that QR code and say, hey, I wanna be a part and help out and do what I can to serve in that. And we'd love to have you. So if you have your Bible, if you'd open up to Isaiah 43, we're gonna go to Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 48. Isaiah 43, Isaiah 48. We'll go there this week. We always do the last week of January is our week of prayer and fasting. And so normally I would like to try to share a message to talk about that, but not so much because we're gonna be celebrating this today. But what we normally do is do a 7 o'clock in the morning online, and then we meet on that Sunday night for prayer. We will be meeting on Sunday night for prayer. That's Cultivate next Sunday night. But we're gonna do something a little different. I'm actually gonna go online at noon instead of earlier. We heard from other churches that works better. More people can be involved. And so we'll be on all the platforms starting tomorrow at noon for that. Isaiah 43, I love this scripture. Love this scripture. Great scripture to preach off of, to share off of. And it's this, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I talked about this on my January 1st message that was online. Often when we talk about forgetting the past, sometimes we think about, yeah, I want to forget the past, it's bad. Well, what about even when the past was good? Hey, it was good, but how many know God's got more? Yeah. I know God's not the way to say it. So say have. God has more for you and me. That's what he does. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say new. Yeah. A new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it or do you not see it? I make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I'll jump over to chapter 48, verse 6. It says this, you have heard, now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things. I love that. Hidden things that you have not known. God has shown us and done so much in 8 years. Guess what? God has new things for us. He has more for us. He has more for you. And my hope is this, is when we leave here today, I just have a sense in my heart to so many of you. And as I was praying this week, I'll even share a little more specifically at the end about this, that you're in a space, that you're in one of two things. You find yourself and sense yourself in a new season. You sense something new, something wanting to be birthed in your life. But maybe some of you have just gone through the motions for so long. You've been stuck just running on the same treadmill for so long with your life that you're like, okay, please tell me there's more than this. There is. There is. And he's gonna spark it in you today. And I think he's gonna use this word to do it. The number 8's an interesting number. And I kind of focused on that this week, did a little studying on it. The number 8 in scripture is the number for new beginnings. It's new beginnings. What a great way to start off. That's why this message is what it is. It's a new beginnings message because it's our 8th year getting going. Some interesting facts about the number 8. When Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, it shows in scripture, he revealed himself to 8 people before he ascended into heaven. When you look back in the Old Testament, there was a 7-week period called the spring harvest time. That was a big deal during that time. And after the 7 weeks of the spring harvest time, the 8th day after that 7 weeks was the day of Pentecost. And they were showing that picture when it got into the New Testament, when Jesus ascended to heaven, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. They were filled on the day of Pentecost. And what that ushered in the power of God's Spirit, and it birthed the church, a new thing. It's what he does. It's a new beginning. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and man. And on the seventh day, he rested. That's where we get our week from. And then after that seventh day, it started a new beginning. Here it is. Here's the world. There's new that's going on. Also, a couple interesting facts about eight. The number of authors in the New Testament, eight. Something to show us what the new covenant looked like compared to the old covenant. When God decided, hey, there's so much evil on the earth, I'm gonna flood the earth and start over. He called Noah. Noah built an ark, and guess how many went on the boat? Eight. Eight went on the boat, and there was a new beginning. God has a new beginning. And so I titled the message today, 8 years anniversary, just simply this, new beginnings. New beginnings. Hey, it's been great, but God has something new. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. God, I pray that you would just anoint me to share your words. God, no one needs to hear me. They need to hear you through this. And so, Father, so many need a new beginning. Some of them need a fresh start. Someone need to start over. Some need a reset, a replay. God, Father, you have something better. You have something new from you to them. I pray that you would help me communicate that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. I love new things. Isn't there something nice about new things? Like a new house. Come on in, new house. And when we moved here 8.5 years ago, we lived in an apartment for a year till we figured out where we wanted to live, and we moved into a new house. Now, let me help you. It wasn't a new house. It was new for me house. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When it wasn't a new house. And there's something I like about it, man. It's something kind of cool. I mean, even to this day, we love the home we live in now, but I love looking on HAR. I'm not moving. But I just like looking, see what's there. Oh, come on, anybody else look at HR? Come on, don't lie, you look at it all the time. Look, we got a lot of people, you know? You're either unsettled in your spirit or you're like me, I like new. What can we do new? You know, I like new. It's something about a new car. You know the smell of a new car? You ever go like to get a vehicle and maybe you go in the used section and then they bring you to the new section and you walk in and it's on the showroom floor and you look at that car and you smell it, it looks good and you're like, sir, you still want to buy that other vehicle? No, that vehicle's stupid. How much is this one right here? There's something about that new, you know? We just love that new. I like new outfits, new clothes. Come on, some of you are wearing new outfits from Christmas and you look good. You look good. If you can't tell, I got some new shoes. My wife bought me some new shoes for Christmas. And come on, you know when you got something new and you like it? Don't lie. You go to your closet and you put the whole outfit together for the shoes, you know, for the shoes. And so it's hard for you to miss me this morning with these shoes on too. It is. And so I like how that look with the new fit. I love new restaurants. Boy, I love hearing about new places, you know. Yeah, I'm Cajun. We're from Louisiana and there's a great new Cajun place. Have you heard of it yet? The Best Stop. Anybody heard of Best Stop? Okay. Just a few of y'all. Y'all need a revelation from Jesus. Hey, let me just say something. It's right by the In-N-Out, okay? So all of my West Coast people, okay, that you just love In-N-Out, okay, it's cool. I'm so glad we have something for you, all right? But next time you go to pull into In-N-Out, just keep going. Keep going. Just pray that Jesus would touch the fries. The burgers are great, but just touch the fries a little bit at In-N-Out a little bit. You go a couple of little shops over and you get you some Best Buy. You get you some crackling. You get you some boudin. You're like, Pastor, I don't know what that is. It's goodness. It's the grace and mercy of God exploding in your mouth, the favor of the Lord. But if you do it, then cancel the rest of the day because you're going to need a nap, all right? You're going to need a nap. It's going to be good, but that's just kind of how it goes. It's new. I love things that are new, and I want to teach you a few things about new because God is always doing a new thing, and I want to share with you. I want to give you three things. What do we do with new? We don't always know what to do with new. So I'm gonna give you three things as we're kicking off going into our eighth year. Like what does new look like? We've seen so many blessings in the past and I'm grateful for it, but God is doing, and here's the first thing you need to know about new is this, is God is always doing something new. God is always doing something new. He's always birthing new things, touching new lives. He's always doing something in all of us. Even at the very beginning of time, when God spoke, let there be light, and it began to create all of the universe, scientists even to this day say the universe is still being created. You know why? Because new things are still coming. He spoke it back then. It's still being created. We have to know that he's always doing something new. Revelations 21:5 says this, "Behold, I make all things new." What are you saying, Pastor? This is important. You gotta know this. Because God's active in our lives. God is active. He's involved. He cares. He's whispering. He's talking. Hey, that kid that's far from the Lord, you know what I know? God's talking to him. I wouldn't know, Pastor. He looks like he's anti everything. Don't worry. When he's sleeping by his night, he had nothing to prove in front of him. The Holy Spirit's speaking. He's talking. He's active. Amen. We can often think, well, you know, the big man up the stairs. Come on, we listen to country songs about it. You know, or the big man go to church and drop an offering, praise God, be good. But what? No. He's active. He's doing something new. He's involved. Hey, he wants to do something new in your marriage. Let me try that again. He wants to do something new in your marriage. He wants to do something new in your kids. He wants to do something new in your money. All right, all right, let's get there. He's moving, he's speaking, and here's the thing that I've learned, and one thing that I try to help, I wanna help you so much, so badly with this, is this. It's not that God's not moving, and it's not that God's not speaking. Often, we don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't catch it. We just read it, said, see, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. Like, do you not perceive it? You see it? Do you see what God's doing? You see what God's up to? See what God's trying to do? Let's take it outside out of the church. Do you see what he's trying to do in your life? Hey, you're here. If you're in this church and you're listening to the words right now, God's trying to do something new. Amen. God's trying to speak something new. God's trying to draw you into something new. That's what he does. He's always doing something new. Do you see it? Let me give you a story about, do you see it or not? So I've been in ministry now, full-time ministry for 28 years. First 20 years, I was a student pastor, loved student ministry, still love student ministry. One of the passions of my heart is student ministries. And I still come on Wednesday nights and high-five the kids and pray with them and watch them worship and cry in the back watching them worship because it's just so powerful. There's no worship like teenagers worshiping, trust me. It's just amazing. And so I loved it. And about 15, 16 years into being a youth pastor, I remember Stephanie came up to me. I'm talking about, do you see it? Stephanie comes up to me and she goes, Jason, I just got a question. Like, are we gonna do youth ministry forever? And I was like appalled. I said, yes, forever. Like I'm gonna be the oldest youth pastor in the history of the world. Call Guinness. I'm gonna be the oldest one. I'm telling you. A couple years later, I'm like, what's going on? I'm at a youth camp and it's one of the first nights at youth camp and shared with the students and at youth camp. And then my wife comes up to me and this is not something that normally happens to Stephanie. So it was very unique. And she came up to me, she goes, I feel like I had a vision or just a date. I don't really know what it was. And it was after that night. And she goes, I saw you speaking like you were speaking, but the room was, we were somewhere we didn't know in a place that I don't know where it is or who it is. And it was full of just adults. It was full of families and adults and all the generations. And you were speaking and they were laughing and they were being ministered to and they were crying and God was just changing people's lives. And we were so happy. And I was like, that's nice, babe. Cool. Can I tell you what happened? She began to see it, but I hadn't even seen it yet. But let me be honest with you. She saw it. I didn't see it. I hate to admit this, because I didn't want to. I didn't want to. And you want to know why I didn't want to? Because I was more comfortable in the familiar of what I knew. Then I was willing to take a risk and move into something new that I was scared of. The way I would put it is, I have on the screen for you here. I know a lot of you I see many of you take pictures and stuff like this during it. We're often more comfortable with the predictability of the old than the uncertainty of the new. There's something about that. That's why people stay in toxic environments all the time. You know why they do it? Because at some point it becomes predictable. Even the craziness of the moment is predictable. Well, I know such and such happens, and during this time of year, they blow up and all these things, but I know what to expect. And I'd rather be in an environment of I know what to expect to go into a new environment, even if it's healthy, but I don't know what to expect. Yep. It's uncertain. Yep. That leads us in to the second point. First, God is always doing something new, but here's the second thing about new you need to know is we have a choice whether we want to embrace the new or not. God's doing a new thing. It's what he does. He's always doing something new. But will we embrace it? Now, let me show you something in Scripture. Scripture, we see over and over how God, our walk with God, we'll see all throughout Scripture, it's a progression. We're growing. This is the way we say it around here. We say, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. We're growing. God's not in the perfection. He's in the progress. We're growing, and Scripture talks about this in Romans 1:17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So we don't go from faith to doubt, at least we're not supposed to, go from faith to faith. A little bit of faith here, God shows up. A little bit of faith, go from faith to faith. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about going from glory to glory, but we all with unveiled face behold as in the mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Psalms 84:7. They go from strength to progression, growth. God is always doing something new, but whether we grow or not determines on whether we embrace it or not. Hey, if your faith is the exact same faith today as it was a year ago, man, maybe you're hesitating embracing the new. If your understanding of things is the same exact place as it was the last time, then maybe we're hesitating in embracing it. Because here's the deal. New faith, new strength, new glory, all these things, they don't just jump on top of us one day. We're not just walking down the road one day and we're like, now I'm a faith giant. Get thee behind me, Satan. Nah. It's the little steps that lead us towards that. Some of us, we avoid embracing the new like an introvert after worship. Come on, y'all know. Where's my introverts in the house? Where you at? See, half of you didn't even raise your hand because you're an introvert. See, that's how that works. I don't want nobody to know. Then Nate gets up here and he's like, hey, turn around and give somebody a handshake and a high five. And you're like, oh, I hate this part of service. You're like. Some of us embrace the new like that, you know? I mean, and God forbid when I get up here, like after worship, because I take it a step further. Sorry, it's the Southern in me. I'm like, turn around and give somebody a handshake, high five, and a hug. And you got some extrovert. And you're like. God wants to bring something new. I want to do something new in your marriage. I don't want to embrace the new. And then here's something I want us. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling for a second, all right? Is this. I'm going to meddle for a minute. Is this. It's. I'll tell you what it is. It's a challenge we have to watch out for in our generation, okay? We are inundated. We just have so much knowledge, so much. Nothing wrong with it, but what we do with it is what matters, okay? I mean, there's more podcasts. Anybody remember when you used to have encyclopedias? Some of you might have it in your house just for like antique purposes. And you would have to go and look up stuff. Now you just see, right? We have so much knowledge going on and so much happening coming our way. Now here's the thing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with knowledge, but we have to be careful. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Yep. But there's another scripture that says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So which one is it, Pastor? It's not about the knowledge. Watch this. I put this on the screen for you as well so you can see. You do not grow from knowing more. I want you to catch this. You do not grow from knowing more. You grow from doing more of what you now know.
Good word.
I got It's you grow because you actually are doing the thing you just learned. We've learned enough between all the things we've learned enough. It'd take us the rest of our life to learn to obey what we learned. I mean, nothing wrong with it. I want us to know, want us to grow, want us to grow deeper. I don't want us to be ignorant to what's going on. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against any of those things. I do it. I listen to podcasts all week long. I'm wanting to grow. I'm wanting to build the well. But on the deep part, I want to make sure that we don't accumulate all these knowledge, but we never act upon it. Never do anything with it. Because if you just accumulate a bunch of knowledge and never actually put it to practice, then you just become a critic of everybody else that's not doing the thing that you've learned that you're not doing. Pastor got a little fired up on that one. I'm trying. That's right. Don't talk about it. Be about it. My God. All right. Yo, this is how we roll around here, okay? It's the real deal. Hey, listen, God's always doing something new. Question isn't if he's doing it. Really, the question is, do you see it? And will we embrace it? There's one other thing you need to know about new. It's important that we all have to know. I've experienced, you've experienced it, and I'll even show you in just a second. And it's this, the final one, as our worship team comes up to this, new seasons require new change. New seasons require new change. When it comes to growing, there's a great leadership quote that I've heard for years and never knew who said it, but it's been credited to this man, Brian Solis. He's a futurist. I don't know what a futurist does. I don't know. If you're a futurist, email me, tell me what y'all do. I'm not mad at you. Because people don't know what I do. People are like, you read about and pray all day long? Yeah, that's all I do. I don't do nothing else. Get back to the message, Jason. All right, so you either change or become a victim of change. There's one thing constant in this life, it's change. It's change. Things change. And when God, watch this, when God's blessing, what he wants to do new comes, it's going to demand upon us change. Maybe some of you, you're here because you've sensed change. Hey, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. We're going to love you, come alongside you. Won't be perfect, but we'll be honest and real. You're sensing this change. I remember when Stephanie, we're married, and she comes up and she goes, hey, I'm pregnant. How many of y'all know? Wow, blessing, life, change, right? A lot of change. Whoa, all right. So like there's another human that I'm responsible for. Kind of changes things. I remember when she came a second time, guess what? I'm pregnant. Woo, praise God, change, right? Then she came with a third. Pregnant, come on, y'all. We went from man to man to zone defense all of a sudden. It got busy. We had to change some things. We had four children. When we had that fourth one, we're just like, Lord, I'm so tired. You just raised that child in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all know if any parent understand what I'm saying. God knows. But we had to change some things as they got older. See, when it was just Stephanie and I, Stephanie cooked and I cleaned. That's kind of how we did things. It was nice and all that. And then also we had another child. No, there was just a few dishes. Now there's a bunch of dishes, you know, and people were all placed. So now we had to do some things like, okay, listen, kids, on Monday, so-and-so is cleaning, on Tuesday, so-and-so, on Wednesday, so-and-so. I don't like this change. I'm like, well, if you want to live here, you'll like this change on Wednesday. All right. So that's how this is going to go. All right. But it was a blessing. God wants to bring something new, but it's going to require maybe a change in your mindset, change in your attitude, change in your approach to some things. Maybe God's bringing you into a new place and you have to change to be open to what God, maybe you have to change some habits, some disciplines. Can I tell you a frustrating place? A frustrating place is if you recognize God's wanting to do something new in you, but you're not willing to change any of your disciplines or habits. You'll live frustrated because you won't be able to hold the thing God's wanting to give because you refuse to change on the things God wants you to do. There's a principle in scripture about the wine and the wineskins. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 37 and 38. Jesus is sharing the story and he says, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. See, wine represents the power of God, the presence of God. The wineskins, it represents the structure that holds it, the habits that hold it, the disciplines that hold it, the faith that holds it, the mindset that holds it. And God wants to do and pour some new things into us. And if we try to handle the new things of God with the same old things I've always done, it's gonna burst. So God, expand me, grow me, teach me, show me, help me learn, God, what you want me to do. That's gonna require some things. By the way, over the years, we've had to change as a church. We've had to adjust things. As a church, by the way, I haven't liked all of them. I haven't liked all the adjustments. Can I tell you the biggest one? I like knowing everyone's story. I like being involved in every single person's life. I like it when something's going on and I can come alongside you personally and walk through every little thing. Well, the problem is as we grew, I kept trying to do all that on my own. And like, guess what happened? I frustrated everybody. While I was frustrated, because I couldn't get to everybody. So we had to empower small group leaders and staff and all that. Hey, help us. Here's our heart, here's our spirit. This is the way we do it. Will you help come around to that, so that everybody feels loved, everybody feels this. If I can't get to them, somebody gets to them. Come on, we've got to get to everybody. We've got to take care of these people. I don't like it. I don't like it. But God's doing something new. And so I say, God, I trust you. I gotta trust you with the people that you've given. I'm gonna trust you that we can take care of what you've given us. It's a change. As I end the service today, our 8 years, and we go into the next eight, next 16, next 20, just going and going. And then one day we'll turn around and we'll hand it to the next generation and they'll run further and faster than we ever did. And it'll be awesome. And we'll be the greatest fans. We'll be all cheering them on. I was preparing, talking about God's always doing new. We have to embrace the new, but it's gonna require, we're gonna have to change our thinking about some things, change our thoughts, how we handle some, okay. I was preparing this on Wednesday. On Thursday, I got up and I was just praying for you guys and praying for this message and everyone that'll be watching all these. And this happens to me maybe once or twice a year, not very often. But where I feel like the Lord gives me a word for someone here in our church. And sometimes it's multiple people, sometimes one or two. And I really feel like the Lord gave me a word for two different groups of people in here. And it's not spooky. Let me tell you what it is. God loves you so much that he whispers something to somebody like me just to kind of really say something specific. And it's not, how'd you do that? I didn't. Like, God did it. And he just wants to make sure you get it. And so I wanna talk to three groups of people, two in particular, and then I wanna give someone a chance. I start talking about new. I have to give people a chance that maybe they've never met Christ. They give an opportunity to meet Jesus for the very first time. That would be the greatest, greatest new beginning ever. First is this. I wrote it down because I wanna make sure I'm succinct with this. But I just sense this thought of there's many in you here that are hopeful for a new beginning. Like you're like, I want a new beginning. I need a new beginning. You've even tried to start and you've even had a couple false starts where it feels like I keep trying to turn over a new leaf. I keep trying to do that, it's like a false start almost going on. Some of you, you've been thinking about that. Some of you, a new season was thrown on top of you. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. Somebody else did something and it forced you into it and you're a new season. If that's you, I just have this simple word to help you. It says this, and I wrote this down. It's not going to look like you thought it would, but if you trust the Lord and take steps, it'll be better than you imagined it would be. Amen. I just really feel that in my spirit. You'll know if it's you or not. Well, you'll feel that, man, wow, that's really for me. It's not going to look like you thought it would, but if you trust God and take the steps, it'll be better than you imagine. There's a second group, and you'll know who you are when I say this. You enjoyed the message. I always enjoy it when PJ preaches on this, that, or the other. And now you're about to just put it in the file cabinet of every other message you ever heard. You've become professional at adding knowledge, but God wants you to walk in wisdom. See, knowledge is just knowledge when we start to apply it to our lives. Now wisdom and revelation starts to come in there. And I had this picture of a door being closed, and I had this picture of like, you ever know somebody's on the other side and you kind of just, you don't want them to know that you're there, but you just kind of peek in, kind of look a little bit. And some of you, you're feeling that God wants you to do something new. He wants you to start that small group finally. He wants you to start serving on that team finally. He wants you to lean into this time of prayer and fasting and really ask the Lord for some clarity. You're really looking for that season. And as you open up that door, as you do that, it's all of a sudden you're gonna get a sense, because all of a sudden the power of God, the power of taking a step of faith, the power of having God's strength and his purpose and his anointing is gonna start to come in, and you're gonna see what life looks like when you take a step of faith. You know what faith is? Faith is, I don't see it all, but I'm taking a step. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And guess what? Is there any such thing as faith without risk? No, or it wouldn't be faith. And so as you open, it's going to, and then once you get a taste of what it's like to step in the natural and see God's supernatural, you'll bust open the door and never want to live another way again the rest of your life. That I feel like that's so for many of us. And the final one is this. I just can't go talk about new beginning without maybe giving one of you in here an opportunity for a new beginning. A new beginning to know God, to have a relationship with Jesus. This whole thing, it's not about mindsets and shifts and change. That's all good. But if you don't know God, none of that other stuff even matters. Doesn't even matter. So maybe you're here and maybe you're just checking out church. Maybe you're just kind of checking out things, like you're kind of figuring it out, and I've been studying on religion, and I've been working. I want you to know, it's about you actually knowing someone, the person of Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know him, to know him today. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll come into your heart. He'll change it. Let's see. I wonder if everyone just closed their eyes right where they're at, bow their head. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And we have pastors that are in both of our overflow sections. In just a moment, I'm just going to simply ask this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't really know Jesus, but you want to before you leave here today, I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to ask you to look up at me when I count to three. I'm going to say one, two, three, and then I'll have you just look up at me. And when you do, I'll look at you and I'll say, I see you, and you can put your head back down. I'm not gonna have you stand up. I'm not gonna have you come to the front. I'm not gonna do any of that, but I wanna pray for you. That's it. That's all I'm gonna do. But if you're here today and you've not surrendered your life to Christ, but you want to before you leave here today, you want a new beginning, a fresh start, would you look up at me in one, two, three? Anyone here in the middle? Looking in the middle first. I see you, sir. I see you, ma'am. Anyone else? I see you, ma'am. Anyone else in the middle? To my right, your left, anyone over here? I see you, ma'am. I see you, ma'am. Anyone else? See you, sir. See you, ma'am. See you, sir. See you, sir, in the back. Anyone else? I see you, ma'am. To my left, your right, anyone over here? I need to turn. I see you, ma'am. See you, sir. Anyone else? I see you, ma'am, back there. In all of our overflow sections, you can look up, and our pastor, they'll just see that they see you. That's it. I'm gonna say this prayer. And for all of you that looked up to me, looked up just now, I'm gonna ask you just to do this. Just repeat this prayer after me. Repeat it and mean it in your heart. Jesus is gonna come live in your heart today. But you know, we won't let you do it by yourself. We as a church will come around you and do it with you together. So church family, can we say this with those who are saying it for the very first time? And if you're saying this for the first time, just repeat this after me. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, a sinner in need of a savior. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and take my life. I give you my past, my present and future. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.